We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. Now that's funny, how do you carry around the death of Jesus in your body? So that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. I want to speak to you this morning on jarring truth for clay jars. Heavenly Father, speak through the speaker. Speak to the speaker. Teach me while I teach, O Lord. Reveal to me that I may reveal to them. Reveal to the believers, Lord, and the people here, things I've never said. Make the text to shine with thine own understanding, whether I say it or not. May hearts be open to say, speak to me, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul says, we have this treasure in jars of clay, and you are that jar of clay. You and I, our personality and our bodies, are jars of clay. We have this treasure in jars of clay. How many of you have pictures of your parents on the wall at home? Hands, please, hands. Don't get arthritis. Thank you. How many have pictures of your grandparents on your walls at home? And boy, we wipe out a lot on that one. How many have pictures of their great-grandparents at home? Whoa, we're getting down to the heroes. How many go back four generations? Raise your hand. Right here, four generations. I almost said ugh. It is right. All right, don't tell me you go five generations. Four, that's tremendous, one couple. My wife turned our house, it used to be a parsonage, now it's a museum. And she she did a beautiful job, and I give guided tours 3 to 5 on Tuesdays if you're interested. And you come in and you take a hard right, and she got pictures of, boy, this is just disconcerting, disconcert you. What are we doing here, Jeff? It's not his fault. It had a wonderful first service, no problem at all. Once more, it's gone. Do you hear what I said? Lord, bless this thing. George Whitfield never had the problem. John Wesley never had the problem. Bless this mechanism, Lord, and deliver me. Thank you. From evil. All right. You come in and you take a right, and she's got pictures of her parents and her grandparents and her great-grandparents. It's all symmetrically done. The colors match. It looks so nice. Why do we do that? Because, you know, there comes a time, young people, don't throw out the junk your mother and father has. You're going to want it in 10 or 15 or 20 years. You want to put it on the wall, pictures of, who wants this old picture? Throw it out. You do in 25 years. Don't throw it out. Hold on to it. Family pictures, hold on to them. My wife and I got root conscious a couple summers ago. And we said, let's go back and see where we came from. Now, her grandmother is very much of a trace it person. And when we started dating and got engaged, my name was Murdoch, obviously, and you did it. Okay. My wife and I went back to trace our roots because her grandmother said, Murdoch, as she traced it back and found out that my grandfather in Pictou, Nova Scotia, bought meat from her grandfather in River John, 40 miles away, and sold it, if you can imagine that for a small world. So we could not believe it, but it was true. And so we journeyed north to Nova Scotia one summer to find our roots, as it were. And we drove into River John. They were about 3 or 4 old wags, old city wags with their corn cobs sitting in that old chair. And they'd been out and they watched the River John and all the village. They'd been there. They could tell you what happened in that village for the last 80 years. So we pulled up and we said, do you know if there's a meat market around here? I said, yeah, there's one over there being torn down. Well, I was looking for Murdoch's meat market, but it was in another town. But we went over and talked to them. But we came back and talked with them. And lo and behold, we said, do you know so-and-so and so-and-so? Yeah. And then we mentioned Grampy Payne, and his name is Lincoln, and Grampy's over 80 now, and I'll let him tell you how much over. And we start talking to this old man, and he says, oh, little Lincoln, I remember playing with little Lincoln's 82 years of age, and I'm talking to this man. I mean, talk about roots, and we couldn't believe it. Drove the other 38 miles or whatever over to Pictou, Nova Scotia, found Murdoch's meat market. And there was a man there running it. It was my cousin. He hadn't seen me for I can't tell you when. I just went in as a customer, looked around. A lot of people being waited on. I'm just there. I'm looking at the hamburger. See, maybe I'll buy a pound of hamburger. He starts looking at me. I try to look nonchalant, you know. I mean, this is going to be a breakthrough. And finally came my turn, and I said, He looked at me and he said, "Are you a Murdoch?" I said, "I'm your long-lost cousin. How are you?" He couldn't believe it. Roots. Yeah. Out to the cemetery, find where old Grandpa Murdoch was buried. Couldn't believe it. Like, it's something that comes on you about age, I don't know, maybe 50 or whatever. Don't throw that stuff out. You want to put it on the wall when you get older. Why do we do that? To trace our lines, our lineage, our likenesses. I could see that. I mean, he had Murdoch hair. I just tell my father had big wavy hair, and his father had big wavy hair. He looked just like a Murdoch, and he looked at me, and I had wavy hair too, but it's time to wave goodbye. And I had enough. I had enough so he could identify me. Why do we do that? Trace our lines, trace our lineage, trace our likenesses, and trace our lives. There's a mystery and a truth that we give our lives. The parents put a deposit of life in the child. And the child puts a deposit of life in his child. It's a mystery, but it's true. When the Lord Jesus said, "As often as you take this cup and eat this bread and drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me." For continuity. Now we come to today's text, and we have living clay holding the living Christ. Paul says we have this treasure in vessels of clay. And so the living Christ is in the living clay, and that's what you are. You're born of God. You've received into your very body, into your vessel of clay, your jar of clay, the life of the Lord Jesus. This gets two things done, because God wants his purpose accomplished on earth, which is for him to be glorified on earth. How does that happen? When you make a godly response in an ungodly world, you are accomplishing the purposes of God. And so that we might have godly responses from vessels of clay in an ungodly world, Christ comes and takes up his residency, and when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, his intensive residency inside your jar of clay, your body, your personality. And every godly response from you comes from the God within and brings glory to God on this earth, and that's why you're here. By the same token, it gives reason for a man to be here, particularly under pressure. That's when we start to say, what am I here for? The pressure of loneliness, the pressure of rejection, the pressure of despair, the pressure of purposeless living. And we say, what am I here for? For this purpose, for godly responses in an ungodly world to bring glory to God. That's the highest reason you can be. He is the reason, the song says. He is the reason, but the reason has to live in a reasoning person, which is you, dear jar of clay. Now, look what Paul says. What do we do with these jars of clay? Put them in a glass case in a museum? No. I've been to the Vatican Museum in Rome. I hope you could all get there someday. Incredible. I mean, they've got stuff around. We don't even show you what's in the vaults. The stuff around the rest, I mean, it beggars speech. It's solid gold. It's Jesus the shepherd carrying a little lamb and golden sheep. I mean, like so, solid gold. Right there, just a little glass between you and it. A vast jar from Peter the Great in Russia. I mean, how much is it worth? As much as you want to charge for it. I mean, what do you do? Well, you put it in a museum and don't do anything to it. It's too, you know, that's how you protect it. Not God's jars. Look at verse 8. We, Paul says, are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. See, clay is very fragile, but God doesn't protect it. He puts it out in the real world. We are hard-pressed on every side. I mean, Paul said, I'm hard-pressed. I walk down the road and I wonder, are the Jews going to get me today? I wonder if someone's going to squeal to the Romans and they'll say I'm out trying to take over the emperor's spot and I'll get booked again for being an insurrectionist. I wonder if the thief's going to get me today. I wonder if some Christian's going to betray me. I'm under pressure on all sides. He said, I have that. I'm pressed on all sides, not, oh boy, a little relief over here. I'm pressed, he says, on all sides. The care of all the churches, the teaching of the apostolic band with him, on and on, working with his hands at night to provide, at least in Corinth, his care and his keep. Pressed. Anyway, the nearest I ever got to that was being in Romania. And you walk in and they say, now don't talk about anything. You're walking through a park. No one's around you for 30 feet. Don't talk about anything political. I mean, There's nobody around, but they are around. Don't say this. Don't mention any Christians by name. It's pressed on every side. It's a thing that the American mind can hardly conceive of. And I told you before, the miracles of God and the wonders of God. When we hit the station in Oradea, and I had a phone number for Dr. Nick, and yet I didn't want to phone him because I didn't know any better. If I did, his line was tapped. I didn't think that was a smart thing to do. And I didn't know his address. And we're kind of like little milling sheep, and you stick out like a giraffe at a lawn party. And finally, this little 23-year-old girl comes up, and she says, may I help you? And you look down on her sweater. She's got a little pin. I have given my heart to Jesus. I said, are you a Christian? She says, yes, I'll be back in 10 to 15 minutes. Just stay right here. I mean, you just got to be there to appreciate she was an angel this kind, but she was an angel this way. Okay? A messenger from God. She says, now we can't go in the taxi cab. It'd be better if we get into the trolley car. Then I guess it's less noticeable. Well, I've seen trolley cars in Brooklyn at 5 o'clock, and I've seen the New York subways and the Boston subways. And this thing pulled up. It looked like it was the sardine line coming on through. And everyone else got on except me, and I'm trying to get on it's up two steps, and I get up one, and it's crowded, and you push back, and I try to get up, and then they push me back again, and don't leave me, and I'm trying to get in. I mean, the doors are going to close, and everyone's packed in, and finally a Romanian lady reaches down and grabs me and pulls me up into the trolley car. Thank God for Romanian ladies. They look like wrestlers, but I needed one right then. I tell you, I don't recommend going to hospitals in Romania right now. If you go, you will find that they don't give any medicine. You have to bring your own. Even an aspirin is difficult to get. Ambulances are not sent to anybody over 60 years of age. No x-ray film is available. No hospitals are heated, including maternity wards or operating rooms. A majority of hospital beds are occupied by two patients. And the only food available for you is what you bring, pressed on every hand. And the church grows under it, because the clay vessels, with the pressure on them from all sides, are drawing on the indwelling Jesus. And my, it's something to behold. Now, the pressure on you today, man, you say, what else could go wrong this week? The car conked out, Jimmy broke his arm. My husband got a pay cut. My mom passed away. What else can go wrong? Maybe you're saying, man, if I could just get out of this marriage, if I could just get out of this marriage. Now, there's biblical grounds for that to be permissible. If I could just get out of this marriage, I would do this and I would do that. Then you fill in your own dreams. But remember, if you come out of that marriage, you come out only with the skills and problem solving and the grace of God, you know, to this point, it does not necessarily mean that you'll find somebody else that's going to answer your problems. I was reading the other day about a man that dated a girl, and true story, he liked her, and she liked him, and she was a sports fan, he thought, and started taking her to ball games. He lived out in California, and they took in the Arizona game, and they took in the UCLA game, and they took in this, and man, he thought he wanted a companion for sports. He really loved her. This is really neat. He enjoyed this so much. And after they got married, she was down to 3 games a season and 2 games a season and 1 game a season. And then I don't want to go. And he had his confidence built in the wrong place. And he was deeply disappointed. He started going to the games with the boys. And then he started going to the games with the boys plus a couple of girls. The next thing you know, he drops his wife, divorces her, and marries her because she's a sports nut. And she's going to go to the game with him. Sure enough, married her. And she started going every game to him. And then you got it right. Can you read the end? Then she was down to 3 games, and 2 games, and 1 game, and no games, and he was twice blasted because he went the wrong way with it. When we say, you see, when we say, or when we quote Paul saying, we have this treasure, we have this all-surpassing power from God and not from ourselves, take hold of with both hands, there's a word for each hand, all surpassing power. Lay hold of that. So at the very top of the list, we're laying hold of the all surpassing power of Christ, which means that he's sufficient for whatever falls underneath that, because if it's all surpassing, nothing is going to surpass it. That we have available to us, though our pressures may be very slight this morning, though they may be very great by Thursday, lock in now that the life in your jar is all surpassing power from God. And that whatever comes, it won't surpass the all-surpassing. When we say power, don't think of some guy with 21-inch biceps and man, he whacks the concrete and he smacks the ice and he blows up water bags and rips telephone books. Man, power. I want to tell you what power is. Power to forgive. Power to come to be counseled. Power to accept correction. Power to pray. Power to be thankful when there's no evidence to prove you ought to be. That is the all-surpassing power of the indwelling Christ. So that our lives are not explainable to other jars of clay. They're jars of clay without the indwelling treasure. We're jars of clay with the indwelling treasure. And there should be a difference, and there should be a non-explanation view taken by these other people who don't understand jars of clay with a plus, namely the living Christ in living clay. Paul says, pressed on every hand. I mean, pressed all over the place. And yet, though we are hard-pressed on every side, not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. What am I going to do this week? I mean, I don't know what to do. My job is going down the tube. Maybe you need job training. Everyone's going to probably change jobs 3 times in life the way our society is now. I'm so perplexed. I just don't want to. I'd just love to get married, like one lady said. I'm not looking for the perfect husband, just a man with the faults that I like. That's all. Yeah. Learn to look at your wife's faults. Let me tell you a trick of the devil. Trick of the devil is for him to come and do nothing but magnify your wife's faults to you. Through most of my married life, I have sensed Satan trying to divide me from my wife in spirit and understanding. Magnify all her faults to me. Never shows me mine, and never shows me her good points. Just keep that drumming on your consciousness as you go on through the day. It's not of God, and it's not of me. And after a while, I say, what's going on here? Just the demonic push of trying to divide you. Bring your faults to mind. Not yours and not the good points, you see? If it's happening to you, say, vamoose, I'm not into that. Vessels of clay see the truth and concentrate on it. Huh? Perplexed. I know what I'm going to do. I just feel so badly. Yeah, that's right. Now, let me tell you, there's several reasons for feeling badly, and that is you may have emotional fatigue. Maybe you lost your mom and the youngster got his arm broken, you've been down the intensive care ward, and you're getting drained. And don't try to feel spiritual because you can't feel anything. Your emotions are drained. Don't try to feel anything. Live in your will. Maybe it's physical fatigue. If you're working 60, 70 hours a week and it's been that way longer than you can think, you're going to be tired and you can't feel spiritual. Maybe there's a chemical imbalance in your body and you don't feel like anything. You feel like you cry all the time, you're depressed all the time. You could have a chemical imbalance. Depression also is associated with selective thinking. Selective thinking. You take one thought. Hubby lost his job. Now you know the promises of God and you know the promises of the Word, but you start to think about hubby lost his job. Hubby, man, now Lord, bless, take care of us, give us this day, this daily bread. Lord, give us this day, this daily bread. Hubby lost a job, I know what we're going to do, the bills are coming in. And all I can see is hubby lost a job and the bills are piling up. And that's all I can, no matter what you put there, listen, it'll blind you. That's why whatsoever things are good and pure and holy, you meditate on the character of God, not denying hubby lost a job. But you can't major there, you go right down the tube, you will feel depressed. Now, hear me. Whatever is caused by negative thinking can be cured by positive thinking, saint or sinner, either one. Because they're obeying the laws of the mind that God created us to have. We're concentrating on the revelation of God's character and his goodness and his mercies. And that's what pulls us through as we begin to say, Christ, thou all-sufficient one within me, you have said, give us this day our daily bread. And we've been praying that. We're concentrating, meditating, thanking you, Lord, for your character and your fidelity. And I may not live on the same financial level as I did before this job, but Lord, we have you, and we give us this day our daily bread. We will learn of your faithfulness and your character. Sometimes it's pressure from Satan just laying on you all the time. Depression, condemning, you no good, bringing to memory only your past sins, not your present victories, only your past failures, not your present triumphs. It's selective thinking that sticks in the mind and causes depression. See it in its perspective, and don't buy anything that's not of you and not of God. And Satan loves to insinuate an ongoing depression, an ongoing failure, and he'll take a true failure. He won't take a false one, because then you don't want to fight it. You say, oh, I can't deny it. No, but you don't have to buy it. It's under the blood. It's history. I have to go on from that. And you keep your mind stayed on Jesus, and don't buy this incessant impartation of past failure or even present failure. Take him for what you need today. New frontier in your life, just like I'm taking for new frontiers in my life. And I need to do that. And if I don't, I'll be a miserable failure. And have when I don't take into my life, in the new frontiers of my life. And those will be happening to you as you go through life. Perplexed, but not utterly perplexed, the Greek says. Persecuted, but not abandoned. My in-laws totally reject me. They hate me. They hate me. And I don't know what to do. I'm persecuted. I go there, they tear me down, and my husband doesn't support me. He doesn't defend me. And he just sits back, and they say these unkind things to me. Some of them aren't even true. Yep. Vessels of clay with Jesus in them can have that happen. Vessels of clay without Jesus in them can have it happen. My husband spends all the money, and I can't stop him, and the phone rings, it's bill collectors, and I'm the one they're chasing. The word for persecution means to pursue, to chase after. Excuse me. Like a dog chases a deer. These bill collectors are chasing me. I can't take any more of this. I can't stop him from spending. Some time ago, a man spoke to me and told me that a man was out to get his job, out to make his head roll. And he did. He was into music. They had spent like $23,000 or $24,000 on band uniforms for the school. And the chancellor said, now I want this band out here for the alumni meeting. That day came, it was raining. And the man checked with the manufacturers of the uniforms, and they said, don't take them and wear them out in the rain unless it's been dry cleaned twice. Otherwise, it'll run all over the place. They had been dry cleaned once. And he said, the band, I'm sorry, we can't march today. We're going to ruin the uniforms. The chancellor showed up, the alumni showed up, and the band had not showed up. The chancellor made one remark, heads will roll over this. And from that point on, that man began trying to find ways and take down information that he could use to put that man out of his job, and he did. Persecuted, jars of clay. Sure, it wasn't fair. What would happen if you take the band uniforms out, they run all over the place, then you get canned because you ruin all the uniforms. No win, no win, right? Right. Wasn't just, that's right. It was not just. But the world's not just. Jars of clay. We'll find out why. What's this say? Struck down, but not destroyed. Now this is the life, the biography of a jar of clay in Jesus. And Jesus in the jar of clay. Struck down, but not destroyed. My husband got 3 weeks severance pay. They said goodbye. My single daughter, not married, she's pregnant. I just found out. My wife just ran out on me. I get phone calls like that. The man's whimpering. I said, just take your time. Just say what you want to. I just found out my wife's another guy. Man's functioning today. You know, I put in some tomatoes about a week ago, and I buy some tomato spikes. And tomato spikes are like little fertilizer dealies, and they're all hardened up, and they're both about that long, and you take them out and you put them 6 to 8 inches from the stem of your tomato, and you put them down, and when you water them, you see, then it all, the slow release of food and nourishment goes down to the roots, and the roots go, oh, wonderful, and up goes your plant. Not quite that fast, but that's what happens. And when this man called, as I just found out this morning, and as even as I talked to him, I could sense him drawing in from the life of Jesus in him, drawing in to go on and to function and to do the right thing through the pain and through the hurt. Just because Jesus lives in us as a jar of clay does not mean we can't be hurt by words or even frustrated on occasion and experience sorrow. It's that we draw from within what is not ours by nature, but it's the life of the Lord Jesus. Now, what does this mean? We carry around in our body, Paul says, all this goes on. This all goes on, he says, because we always carry around in our body the death of the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Well, Jesus came to this earth and he had human desires just like you and me. He didn't look forward to the cross because it was so wonderful to die, and it was wonderful to die horribly, and wonderfully to die horribly with the damnation of the world thrown in on top of that. He recoiled from it humanly. In the Garden of Eden, his humanity was recoiling from it, understandably. And yet he says, "Thy will be done." He sweat drops of blood and went on with it. His heart was saying, "I delight to do thy will, O God." His humanity was saying, "Lord, I don't know, this is worse than I thought it was going to be." And so our Lord Jesus said yes to what was right and no to what was wrong. And you have in your jar of clay the very life of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And let us remember something now, that when we repented of our worst selves. And hopefully, if we're taught correctly, we renounced our trust in our good selves. Now that's tough for human nature. That's tough for the sincere man who wants to hold on to his good points. But when we come to Christ and take on his life, we repent of our bad selves, which we all know is the stinky part of us. But we don't want to renounce our trust in our good selves. Hear me now. Both of these are our old man, our old nature, our old selves, and they go to the place of judgment, the cross. Everything I am apart from Christ and independent of him, the sum total of the best person I consider myself to be, when compared to the life of Christ that comes into me and the life in Christ, is only fit to be assigned to death and executed as trash. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Be all that you can be in the army. Now, I'm comparing with you now the princely, priceless life of Jesus compared to all that I am B.C. before Christ, B.C. before conversion, B.C. before the cross. Now, that's why Christ as a human being was consigned to the cross, because all humanity apart from Christ and sin was placed on him had to be consigned to a place of death. And we renounce our trust in our good selves. When I was down on that pier talking to Hubert Crawford, I said, "Hubert, listen, baby, you got to give up on your good self." He says, "Man, that's hard to do." I said, "Hubert, you got to give up on your good self. You know your stinky self." And I was almost saying that way because down on the pier, everybody talks that way. I was going to talk about fishing, this. I'm going to preach the gospel when I had the chance. First time in 3 years, I wasn't going to miss it. You got to give up on your good self, Hubert. It's not good enough. It's consigned to the place of death. A few years ago, I wanted to have a compost heap. But my wife doesn't throw out more than a third of an ounce of garbage a day anyway. How am I going to get a compost heap? I mean, take me 4 millennium. So I went down to a supermarket that used to be at 132nd and L. And I went in there. Some guy gave me the hint about it. He said, "Yeah, I feed my geese from what that guy throws out." I said, "Whoa, good enough." I walked down and met that produce manager. I said, "Look, I need to have a compost heap. And I don't have enough stuff my wife throws out. Can I use some of the stuff that comes out of your produce market?" "Yeah, go in the back and help yourself." Man, I went back there. I mean, it was a compost man's dream back there. I mean, there were onions that had heart attacks just lying over there. There were beets that were all embarrassed and blue and didn't have enough oxygen. They were all blue and fading down. I mean, there were onions that had lost their zing. All kind of stuff back there. I mean, yeah, there was cabbage heads that were spongy and stuff like that. This is a great place. And I said, "Look at this stuff." And then when I saw, whoa, feel that melon. That melon is still firm. This is a good melon. What's this good melon doing here? $1.19 out there. I'm going to take this home and eat it. What a place to shop. Wonderful. Free. Filene's on wheels for vegetables. Here's some grapes. I even ate a couple. These are great sheep. What's this man doing? Throwing out all this good stuff with all this bad stuff. Guy's be out of his head. I suppose I call the manager. The manager, hey, how come you're throwing out? I mean, it's good. I know this stuff is junk and kind of garbage you hear, but hey, there's a melon that it's not too bad if you just cut this. What'd you say? I mean, what? Throw it out. Well, okay. Well, these grapes, you see, look, pop them there. I mean, why don't you take them out there and they're not. Load. That's all our nature. Everything before Christ is consigned to death. Not to stay dead, but that the life of Jesus by the Spirit coming into your jar of clay will be the difference between living clay minus lordly life with living clay and a living Christ. And when we came to Christ, he has brought us to the end of a self-centered life, and that the normal Christian walk is to live out of this recentered life in Jesus. And that when we feel ourselves being drawn back into a self-centered existence, we immediately say, whoop. We make little minute-by-minute faith choices. Because your original choice brought you in living union with the Lord Jesus through repentance and faith, and because of that bonded union with him, you now, from that one big choice, now may make little minute-by-minute faith choices. I do not live out of a self-centered existence. But rather, the death of Christ is saying no to the wrong thing, and his life is yes to the right thing. You say, man, I get with that gang at the office, and I say, Lord, I'm not going to go where they go. And then we stop off for the happy hour, and I say, well, I'm not very happy, but man, they look at me like I'm a weirdo. I don't want to do it, Lord. I do it every other week, and I want victory. You have within you the living no of the Lord Jesus who's there, and you have within you the living yes of the Lord Jesus. You choose it, but when you choose, he releases his life. When you see that he's moved in to be your life and to be the no's you need to say and the yes's you need to say, then you appropriate him at the times of choice and make your faith for the minute choice. That is the beauty and the power of the jar that has life in it. Ancient kings in our Lord's day would go and collect their booty in war, bring it back, and they would melt it down, silver, gold, whatever, and they would pour it into a clay vessel. They didn't have vaults and banks and that stuff, so they did it that way. They poured it into the clay. And the vessel of clay would hold it, and then when they wanted the gold, they broke their clay, and they had their treasure. And when God breaks our strength of trusting in our good self and trusting in human nature's strengths, then the gold shows through. And we learn that. And by bringing to the end the wrong self by the cross, we are free to be our true selves. Let me say this. A Christian, a jar of clay with the life of Christ in him, can be hurt by words that are unkind. He can be frustrated from time to time. He can experience sorrow. But in his heart, he knows that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and now lives within him in the energy of a triumphant love that can forgive enemies, has already conquered death, and in the face of hurt, he can choose to forgive. And he can look through darkness and frustration, knowing that you and I are part of a new humanity that has conquered death. And so we can walk through this world basically with God's peace and joy that will not be quenched. That's your portion, jars of clay. Living clay with the living Lord. I said, man, I don't know why I'm going all through these problems. Man, I got pressures. Yes. Where did Paul say God puts the clay? He puts the clay vessel with him in it, out with his perplexity. I mean, how does a farmer know when to plant his corn? When's he going to plant his beans? Do you do it this week or last week or 2 weeks ago? He's got to try and guess the rain factor so the seed will germinate. There'll be enough moisture for the. I mean, you got decisions. And it's going to take you thousands of dollars to put a crop in. And if the rain doesn't come right, you're going to lose it. I mean, I call that pressure. And the man says, you've got to have this $70,000 machine in your office or you can't compete with your competitors. I call that pressure. And your son's off somewhere in the military. You know where he is or how he's living. And you're fearful for his spiritual condition. Perplexity, what will he do? Lord, I cling to thee for him. And God puts all us clay pots out there with degrees of pressure according to his own infinite skill coming against us. Why? That the life of Christ may be manifested in our mortal bodies, and that's the main chief reason. And that's why he's allowed you pressure, and that's why you're out there, dear jar of clay. And whether it's maternal or paternal or domestic or financial or vocational, whatever the pressure is on you, if you're a child of God, he wants you first to realize, I'm in you, dear child, weak as clay, I'm in you. The all-surpassing power, ready to pass past your problem with the sufficiency of myself, and your life is an answer that unbelievers can't come up with because they can't explain you. You look like clay to them just like they're clay to you, except the addition of the living Lord. Perplexed, pressurized, persecuted, driven. It's fine to want relief. Who wants that? Nobody. It's okay to want to be having the pressure taken off. That's okay. Know first, is the Lord getting his purpose out of this? And then we can move on from that the glory may be of God and out of the vessel of clay. Your godly response in an ungodly world gives evidence of the indwelling Jesus in your dear jars of clay, that the Lord is seen to be the victor. Let's pray. Maybe this is kind of a new truth for you today, but dear child of God, if just one shaft of light comes home today, that within you is the wisdom of God in Jesus, that he's there by the Spirit of God, that God knows every pressure on you. Not only does he know the pressure on you, he's reading the gauges. If you're in the oven, he looks at the temperature. There may be steps you have to take. There may be hard choices to make. There may be choices you make that may even look like the wrong choice. Maybe some of them were even the wrong choice. So be it. God never created us infallible. He created us with himself in us at birth, new birth, with him available. And Lord, for whatever the need is for our people this morning, may they first of all see that the life of Christ may be manifest in my mortal body. I bear always in my body the no to the wrong, which is the death of Christ, and the yes to the right, which is the life of Christ. And that I bear in my fragile body that all-surpassing life. And Lord, it passes everything coming to me in strength and beauty and power. And after that, Lord, we'll work through the rest of it, that Christ may be manifest in your mortal body. That may touch you in physical healing. And the pressure of affliction, the pressure of sickness has been on you. And he's saying, look, the life of Christ may be manifest in and at your mortal body. And touch your joints and your body and your organs. Lay hold of me. Lean on me. Learn to draw of my life. Some of you have been so greatly disappointed. You had plans for your family and they've just absolutely gone to smithereens. But what does Scripture say? Learn to glorify me first. Learn that the pressure that came, you can always be a winner at the top level. Always a winner at the top level. All right? That the life of Christ may be manifest in your mortal body. Always a winner at the top level. Beyond that and below that, we'll see how it goes. But this first, pressure, perplexity, persecution, rejection. Now, Lord, cure, heal, as we take of you there, Lord, and work out your will and plan from there on down. Be with those who feel I can't take one more week where I am, and Lord, they probably can't. But now, since they can't take one more week, may they take one who is strong. Open their eyes to see the Lion of the tribe of Judah is within. And give them that quiet courage of yourself to make a hard decision, to make a totally different change in career, whatever it may have to take, but always realizing, I am united with the living Savior. And for this, I have Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. If anyone has need for prayer, body, soul, or spirit, will be here at the front. Will you stand for the benediction, please? May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Amen and amen. Tonight, 6 o'clock, Pastor Les in the Youth Lodge. Those for prayer down here.